everyone. Welcome to another episode of Lessons Learned Podcast, the dumbest thing I've ever done with money. My name is Suzanne, and I'm the head coach at Grace Financial Coaching. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Lessons Learned, the dumbest thing I've ever done with money. I am with my friend Linda Sunshine West. I've known for quite some time now. She is just an amazing woman. She is an international number one best-selling author. I'm so proud of her, as well as a speaker, event producer, film executive, film producer, red carpet interviewer. Her organization, Women Action Takers, is a mastermind and accountability group that encourages female business owners to show up, share their challenges, and receive feedback and guidance so they can get past any obstacle. And if you do have an obstacle, Linda is the person to help you with that. How are you, Linda?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much, Suzanne, for having me here today. And it's funny, when you sent me a message about this, I was like, which one should I choose? You know, I have so many dumb things I've done with money throughout the years. And it's going to be, tune in.
You'll hear some good stuff. I know. It's always, Linda and I met, I remember we set up, the first time we met, we set up like a 30-minute meeting. And I think we were there for 2.5 hours sitting at Chipotle.
Before
we get into that, Linda, I obviously just rattled off a laundry list of the things that you have accomplished in your life. But tell us a little bit about your business right now and the route that you're headed on.
Yeah, thank you for asking. It's interesting because I don't know about you, but me, I was in the corporate world for 36 years. And in those 36 years, you know, I just did what I needed to do in order to make money and to survive, really, most of it. And when I left corporate, I was 51. Left without a net. You know, I had had 49 jobs. So it's not like I had a pension or a retirement or anything, because you do not accumulate a retirement when you only stay at a job for a year and a half, you know? So when I jumped into entrepreneurship, I had no idea what I was going to do, who I was going to serve, how I was going to make any money, but I knew that I wanted to do it so badly. It was like eating inside of me. You know, I could feel it. So I started down this journey, and I came up with ideas, and I tried something, it didn't work. And I tried something else and it worked a little bit. It was okay. Then I tried something, you know, just kept on trying new things. And finally, after like six and a half years that I finally found my thing. And I was telling you earlier, you know, it's called the true north, right? I found my true north. And what it is I help women to write, publish, and market their books. And then to help them to get on stages to amplify their voices. And this was, you know, really important for me, because I spent the first 51 years of my life with my voice stifled. I was too scared to share my truth, too scared to speak up for myself. You know, I was a people pleaser, you know, and so many things that really caused me to shut down and not speak out loud. So when the first time that I actually spoke up for myself, I remember it's clear as bell in my mind. And I was, you know, I said something and I was like, from this point forward, I'm going to share my voice every opportunity I get. And it was such a pivotal moment for me. And again, I was 51 when that happened. And I started on this journey of, you know, again, figuring all this stuff out. And finally, all the pieces came together to create the full puzzle now. And that's where I am. So Women Action Takers Publishing is my company. And literally just tuned into that 3 weeks ago. So it's still new. Do I know exactly where I'm going? No. But am I going there? Heck yeah. And just watch out. This is a freight train.
Exactly.
Freight train. And that's on board.
That's one of the things that I really admire about Linda specifically, is that it doesn't matter where she's going. She is going there with 100% passion, 100% dedication, 110% of her effort. And you're going to get wherever it is that you're going to. Tell us a little bit about the year of fears.
The year of fears. First, in 2014, I hired a life coach. You know, I was driving to work one day. I was working for a judge in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. So in my line of work, like, I made it, but I hated my job. Oh my God. I was so bored out of my gourd, you know? And every day I would go to work and I'm like, this is such a boring job. Like, there's no, like, what's the purpose of this job? So one day I was driving to work and I asked myself that question, like, what is the purpose? What's the purpose of this planet? what is my purpose on this planet? I don't see any value in what I'm doing. And I truly didn't see any value in what I was doing at all. And I placed that value on myself too. Like I didn't see any value of me being here on the planet. So I got to work that day and there was a Facebook message from some lady in a group. And it said, I'm a life coach. I took some time off. I'm ready to get back into it. And I'm looking for 5 women who want to change their life. And I was like, I don't know who this woman is, but she's talking to me, you know? So I hired her. She's a life coach. I hired her and she really put me on this path of discovering who I am and what value I have to offer. So at the end of working with her, that was in 2014, at the end of working with her, in December, I was by myself. So I didn't have that constant growth that I had with her. And you know, frankly, I got addicted to it. I got addicted to change. I got addicted to growth. I got addicted to becoming a positive person. I wasn't always a positive person. Linda Sunshine, Sunshine's not my given name. That sunshine came to me only within the last 3 or 4 years from other people who started calling me Sunshine. So I was never called Sunshine before. So anyway, in 2015, January 1st, I woke up that morning. I said, I got addicted to that positive change. I got to do something different with my life. I'm going to face a fear every single day this year. I got so many fears that are stopping me from living. And so I embarked on that journey to face a fear every single day. So every morning I would wake up and the very first thing I would do before I even got out of bed is I would say to myself, what scares me? And then I would lay in bed and I would wait for the answer. So whatever was the very, very first fear that popped into my head, this was a commitment to myself, by the way. Yeah. This was not a resolution. This was a commitment. And I was like, whatever that first fear was the fear I had to face. And I did it every single day, 365 days. I had a lot of fears, obviously. So I ended up writing a book about it. My mentor was like, you got to write a book about it. And I'm like, okay. So I wrote a book about it called The Year of Fears. It's endorsed by Les Brown. It's not one of my number one best-selling books or international bestseller, but it is a best-selling book. And I have, you know, other books, you know, more recently that have become number one international best-selling books, but it's been an amazing journey. That Year of Fears,
yeah,
completely changed my life.
Well, I just love the subtitle of the book. So the title of the book for our audience is The Year of Fears. And the subtitle is The 7 Most Important Things I Learned That Will Save You Time and Money. And I think one of the things that I am inspired to do with this particular show is explain to people the experiences that others have had in order to save them the embarrassment, the time, the money, the inefficiencies, the, you know, whatever you want to call it, be through telling the story of the dumb stuff that we've all done with money, right? And even as a financial coach, I'm considered an expert on this stuff. And I've got 100 stories myself. Someone needs to come on and interview me one of these days.
Right. I'll interview you. Like you'll interview you yourself.
Exactly. I'm just going to go like this back and forth. So,
yeah.
So Linda, what is the dumbest thing that you have ever done with money?
Yeah, this was actually a very hard question for me because there have been so many. So then I started thinking, okay, which one would be the most impactful? Which one would be the one that, you know, got that like wow factor, right? Because, you know, we want to wow people that, oh my God, that was really dumb. You know, thanks for sharing that because I don't feel the shame that I did feel. Because a lot of times with making mistakes with money comes shame.
Yes.
And, you know, we're not exempt from that. And so the story I'm going to share right now is one that happened in that year of fears. So it was in 2015. So when I left my corporate job and I jumped into entrepreneurship, it was, you know, I had no idea what I was going to do. And it was like uncaging an animal. This animal had been caged up for 36 years in the corporate world. I knew nothing different. And I had all these ideas that suddenly were sparked. And my, like the new neurons or whatever the word is, you know, inside of my body were just going crazy. Like, oh my gosh, they've unleashed me. Now what? And so one of the 7 business ideas I had at the very beginning, because it literally, there were 7 different things and nobody, and I kid you not, nobody could tell me to not do those 7 things. I was bound and determined to make all 7 of those business ideas work. And here's why. And I didn't know this until later. I had spent so many years being told what to do. so many years from my childhood, you know, to my first marriage, to my jobs. Everybody's telling me what to do. For the first time in my life, I was like, I'm in charge of me. 7 ideas. I'm going to do them, come hell or high water. Nobody's going to stop me. I don't care how much advice I get saying that's a bad idea, because I had to prove to myself that I could lead myself. That was the very first thing. So I start with that because one of the 7 ideas was a disaster as far as money goes. And it was a brilliant idea. Everybody loved it. It was an event, a food festival called Lemon Zest and Garlic Fest. And so just the name, when I would say that, people are like, oh, that sounds so good. I can't wait. I'll be there. And there are a lot of mistakes I made with this particular event, but I put the idea out there and I was like, okay, we're going to hold the event in July. And this was like February. So I had 4.5 months to get an event out there, a food festival, you know? And again, nobody could tell me you couldn't do this. So I compiled a team of 10 amazing women who joined, you know, the coordination team, and we made it happen. And it was absolutely incredible. First, I got to see myself be a leader. That was the most important lesson I learned there about myself, is that I am a leader. I brought 10 amazing women together. We ended up having 700 people in attendance. That was my first real event. Like, I had done 100 events before that, fundraising events, but, you know, I'd be lucky if I got 10 people to show up, you know? So to go from 10 people to 700 was a huge jump. We would have had about 1500 there if the weather had cooperated. So it was July 18th, 2015. And it was the first day. I'm in San Diego, California, where we have pretty much perfect weather all year. And it was the first day in history that San Diego received more than 3 inches of rain in a 3-hour period. We were getting pummeled with rain. And so tents were collapsing. People were texting me saying, I can't get there. You know, the traffic is terrible. I'm trying to get there. And people were still showing up, even though it was raining like crazy. So it was a successful event, extremely successful. But the numbers were unsuccessful. I ended up losing $70,000 from that one event. Lots of lessons that I learned in that. Lots of lessons. One is, make sure you have a rain or shine clause, because otherwise people are going to ask for their money back. And they did. And I just gave it back graciously. You know, I said, you know what? This was my mistake, not theirs. And so I gave back anybody who asked me for a refund. Here it is, 2021. Please do not ask me for a refund from the 2015 event, because I'm not going to give it, you know, at this point, you know, but it was, you know, financially speaking, it was a disaster. That was how I started my business. Did I have $70,000 to do that with? No, but I did, but I didn't. I mean, my husband and I had taken a second mortgage out on our house so that I could become a successful entrepreneur. So at the end of the day, when I did all the numbers and I came to him, I was like, I lost $70,000. I lost all of our second mortgage. And I said, we got to sell our house. We got to sell our house. That house had been in my family since I was 2 years old, and he didn't want to sell it. But it was an abusive household that I grew up in. So I didn't have any positive emotional connection to it. So he's like, we can't sell the house. And I said, you don't understand. We got to sell the house. I'm selling it with or without you. And it was not an ultimatum. It was like, I knew that I needed to be on this path. And so he said, okay, let's do it. So we sold the house in a week. We ended up buying a 28-foot fifth wheel trailer. We became campground host in San Diego, which means that we were like taking care of some of the parks in San Diego so that we live for free. And we did that so that I could continue that journey of entrepreneurship. And I learned I get goosebumps just thinking about all the things that I learned in that 4-month period of time.
Yeah, incredible. For sure. Yeah, absolutely. So I do actually want to jump into a little bit beyond that. You had also added on that you did learn from this. So what happened with your next event?
Yeah, so my next event, because I did host another event.
This is actually a big deal for me because it's not so much that maybe we had a similar outcome, but we, you know, not as bad. But I think people really get down on themselves when their monthly household budget doesn't work. And if you're $1,000 over your monthly household budget and the next month you're only $100 over your household budget, you've actually made progress. So get into that a little bit for us.
Okay. Yes, I did. So I had this brilliant idea. I love chocolate. And so I had this brilliant idea to hold a chocolate festival. And I looked around I did some research this time, which I didn't do for the other event. And, you know, I'll share one of the biggest mistakes I made from that first event is that I didn't have any sponsors, because sponsors will help you to pay for the event. And so the second event that came around called Berry Best Chocolate Fest, we had amazing PR. It was incredible. We were all over the place. I was on the news, and I was on the news for the other event too, but this one was just different. You know, it was absolutely amazing. We had billboards. I had, you know, bus stop signs and stuff like that. We were all over the place. And for this event, it was similar yet different. First of all, it was a chocolate festival. I had 3,500 people in attendance. 3,500 people. So I went from 700 to 3,500. The first event was in July. The second event was in March. So it was only 9 months later. And I had 3,500 people in attendance. But it got scary, because a week before the event, now San Diegans are really known for last minute. They're very known for last minute. A week before the event, we had only sold like 400 tickets. And I was going to lose my shirt big time, you know?
That is so San Diego. It's not even funny. I learned that very quickly when I moved there, that you cannot get people to commit to anything unless it's, I wouldn't even say 48 hours out. Like, it has to be imminent, 24 hours out, and then they will maybe commit, if not the next morning. I mean, it's unbelievable. I don't know why that area of the country is like that.
I know. I think I know why. I think because there's so many different opportunities that, you know, it's hard to decide. And then what if something else comes up? What if something else better comes along? And so I think that that's what happens, is that, you know, we wait. I myself don't wait. I like to buy my stuff early. I like to get the early bird pricing, but not only that, I like to put it on my calendar, because my calendar fills up really fast, but not everybody's like that. And so a week beforehand, we sold about 400 tickets. So what does that mean? We sold 3,100 tickets in a week. In a week. And about 1,000 of those came on that day, that showed up on that day. So we ran out of food.
Oh.
I had no idea we were going to have 30. I wanted 1,500. My goal was, so I told all the vendors, we're going to have 1,500 people at the event and this. And so they made, you know, chocolate stuff for 1,500 people, not 35. So guess what? Not a lot of refunds. So I did give some refunds. It was a beautiful day though that time. And it was my birthday, March 19th, you know, 2016. And something happened that day that is kind of interesting. I don't know what your beliefs are. I do know what your beliefs are, but I don't know about your beliefs in this. I had an out-of-body experience. I was standing there outside looking at the crowd, and suddenly I was above the crowd. And I was looking down at that crowd, kind of like floating around. And I said to myself, wow, this is an incredible event. I wonder who's putting it on. Like, that's what I said. And then I came back into my body and I was like, oh, this is my event. Oh my gosh, this is so amazing. A sea of people, you know, it was just so incredible. But at the end of the day, we did the numbers, and that one, I only lost $10,000. Now, as you mentioned earlier, you have a budget, you're over $1,000. The next month, you're only over $100. I looked at that as a 700% increase in revenue, because I had lost 70,000, now only 10,000, which $10,000 is a lot of money. Don't get me wrong, but our words that we use are so powerful. So when I say I only lost 10,000, it's to remind myself that it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had clients who have started, one particular client that sticks out of my head started in January of this year of 2021, and they were $3,300 over budget every month. And about 4 months later, they came into our session, and it was a married couple, and they said, and they've got their heads in their hands, and they're like, we're $800. We're going to be $800 over budget this month. You know, they were projecting to be $800. And I said, you guys started at $3,300. Did you think you were going to cut out $3,300 of expenses, $3,300 of lifestyle, $3,300 in 4 months? I don't even know if I could get somebody to cut that out in a year. I would hope I could. But, you know, I had to look them in the face and say, look at me, guys, pick your heads up. We've cut down on your lifestyle, on your eating out, on taking cash from the ATM and having no idea where the hell it went. That was my favorite line of the budget. Where is this cash going? And that was a really big improvement. Now, in a year, do I think we will get them to a place in 4 months from now where they can be at budget? Yeah, I do. But it doesn't happen overnight, right? So I think a lot of people are going to be watching this and they're going to say, "Is Suzanne lost her mind? A $10,000 loss is still a $10,000 loss." But you learned so much from that $70,000 to that $10,000.
And that's the key here, right? Because we're talking about lessons learned. So the lessons I learned are just phenomenal, really. So first of all, just because you have a lot of people at an event doesn't mean it's successful financially. Right. We got to look at the numbers beforehand. And actually, it's funny because the number one lesson I learned in my book, The Year of Fears, because remember, it's the 7 most important lessons I learned that will save you time and money, was to budget. I was scared to budget. And I know, Suzanne, you encounter this all the time with people. We're scared to budget because, you know, we don't want to be told we can't spend the money. But the reality is that if we haven't budgeted, there's no money to spend.
Yeah.
You know, and I myself, like, I'll admit, I have filed bankruptcy twice, you know, once a long, long time ago, my husband and I did. And just recently, my business was pummeling. I mean, it's just terrible. I was spending money here and there thinking that the more money I spent, the more money I would make. It doesn't happen that way. You got to have a plan, not only for the budgeting, but if you're going to have a business, you got to know where the money is going to come from. You got to figure that out, because if you don't take the time to figure that out, then your business will fail. And right. So that's what happened to me. I ended up filing bankruptcy 2 years ago. So it was in 2019, filed bankruptcy myself. Fortunately, my husband's name wasn't on any of my business stuff. So it was just me. So he got to keep his stellar 815 credit score. Yeah. And so I dove down to the 500s, filed that bankruptcy, and it was a hard decision. A lot of it was hard because I had to admit to him that I had failed in my business financially. That was the hardest part for me, is admitting to him. And so, you know, but I made a decision and I filed it. I got it done, clean slate, starting over. Now my credit is at 715. And this was 2 years ago that this happened. But here's the thing. It took me a while, 4.5, 5 years to figure this all out. Like, what does that mean, budgeting? Saying you got a budget is one thing, but actually budgeting is a completely different thing.
Yeah.
And so I don't spend the money I don't have. I don't have any credit cards. I have debit cards. And, you know, I do use them for my business, but I sit down and I look at the numbers and I say, okay, this month I can go ahead and get this thing. I can go to this event. You know, it only costs this much. It does fit in my budget. And now, a phrase that I use all the time, and I'm so proud of myself, is, I'm sorry, but that's not in my budget.
Yes.
I'm sorry. And people can try to guilt me, because people do this, right? People will try to guilt you into buying things.
Yes.
With, you know, in your business or what have you. Like, in my business, people, come to my event. Come to my event. It's only $800. And I'm like, sorry, it's not in my budget.
Yeah.
I'll put it in my budget for next year.
Exactly. And you know what? I do find that once you're able to use that particular phrase, it's not in our budget, it does two things. One, it will stop people in their tracks and it will stop them from continuing to push. Now, there are just some people out there that are going to keep pushing no matter what, right?
Right.
But majority of people, from a social, etiquette standpoint, will stop at that moment. But then the other thing it does is that it can also open up a conversation with that person to say, what does that mean? What does that mean it's not in your budget? Because it might not have ever dawned on them that they need a budget. And it can open up conversations with people that maybe you thought knew exactly what they were doing with money, that you thought they had an unlimited, you know, spending budget. It opens up these conversations with people who may never have had that aspect of personal finance shown to them. And so I think you are not only doing yourself a great service by saying that, you are doing a great service to others by opening people's minds up and saying, oh, budget, what should I have one of those?
Yeah. And, you know, there's another thing it opens up as well is the possibilities. And, you know, I use that term, it's not in my budget, to the people who are pushing me. I don't want to be pushed into doing something.
Right.
You know, I resist that. So I used to come up with all kinds of phrases that, you know, that meant no, but they didn't understand no. So some people I use that phrase, but other people, like if it's something I want to do or an event I want to attend, I'll say, you know, that's not in my budget, but let me figure it out. Let me see how I can figure out how to make that money, because money is abundant. It is abundant. So I can turn around, like, let's say I use the number 800, because that's $800, because that's what I said earlier. Okay. I say, let me see. All I need to do is I just need to sell two of these programs that I have. Because I have a program that's $497, right? I just need to sell two of those. Let me go out there and sell two of those, and then I can go.
Yeah.
If it's an event I want to go to. But if I don't want to go to it, I'm sorry, it's not in my budget. You know, let me know about it for next year so I can add it to my next year's budget. So there's phrasing that we can use that can get us off the hook. Because otherwise, if we don't use these resolute, finite terms, then people will try to push us. And myself, I am a recovered people pleaser, having been a people pleaser, you know, you say yes to just about everybody, even at your own detriment. And that's not healthy. Not healthy emotionally. And it's not healthy on the pocketbook.
Right. Exactly. Oh, you and I could probably just get into another hour of healthy boundaries discussion, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. You know, I'm sure that, you know, many of you have heard of it, and that's an incredible book. Talks about it, you know, the Millionaire Booklet by Grant Cardone. That's another great, I read that thing in a day. I mean, in a couple hours, it's so small, but the golden nuggets that come out of that, you know, it really teaches you how to think about money. And then you've got Suzanne here, you know, that's really here, because it's one thing to have mentors in a book or mentors on YouTube, but to have that mentor that you can actually ask the real live questions about your own life, it's completely different. You know, I have mentors in so many different areas, and I have coaches, and they help me through different situations. If I have something come up and I can't find a YouTube answer, I'm going straight to them, you know, but now I just go straight to them. I just skip the YouTube part, because it saves me a lot of time and aggravation.
It's so true, because I'm actually starting, I have a new client starting this evening, and the first thing we're doing, it's September 2nd when we're recording this. So the first thing we're doing is we are jumping on her September budget. And I am just so excited to get in there and dig in with her numbers and to be able to say, all right, we're jumping off on the right foot. September is your month. It's going to, you know, it's going to continue to be your month, but yeah, it's that one-on-one hand holding that is going to make a huge difference. And she's excited, and I'm excited. So thank you for your kind words, Linda. I want to also thank you for your honesty with sharing your financial blunders. And everybody can make sure to join me again next week for another episode of Lessons Learned, the dumbest thing I've ever done with money. Make sure to check out all of Linda's links. They are in the show description below. Thanks, everybody. Thanks again to our guests for their honesty and for sharing their financial blunders with us. Join me again next week for another episode of Lessons Learned Podcast, the dumbest thing I've ever done with money. Make sure to subscribe to the Grace Financial Coaching YouTube channel, and please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts.